This is Michael from Theme Park Brothers, and I would like to invite you to check out our YouTube channel. At Theme Park Brothers, we take you with us as we visit the Disney Parks, Universal Orlando, SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, and many other theme parks around the country. This summer, we took our viewers with us as we visited Canada for the first time. It brings us joy to share our experiences in hopes that it will inspire you and your family to get out and enjoy the parks. Our videos share our experiences in different ways. Some are walkthroughs with ambient sounds. In other episodes, we dive deep and have discussion. There is sure to be something for you at Theme Park Brothers. Head over and hit that subscribe button. Catch you on the flippity flop.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik. And today, you know I always say I'm flying solo, but then I bring somebody along with me. I've got a great co-pilot today. Let me introduce to you, again, joining us, Amy Van Swole. Amy, how are you?
I'm great.
You know, I wanted to go and bestow more titles upon you. A great person, sweetheart, but I ran out of time there, so... So it's good to hear from you. We haven't been on for a while together. So
it's been a year. Yeah.
I'm super excited. And we've got a really useful show today, and it's gonna be a fun show. But you know me, before we start, give me something good. What do you got?
Well, I'm not working right now, but what's really cool is my oldest that's a college kid is on spring break this week, so we get to spend some extra time together. It's pretty cool.
That is cool. And that's a rarity because what year is he in college now?
He's a sophomore.
Sophomore. So he's really only got a couple more years where that spring break's going to be around, and then the real world starts kicking in, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So good. Some mom and son time. I love it. Okay. Can I jump right into the show? Because I think we're going to go through a lot of information here today. And
sure.
So first things first, let's just get this out of the way. Amy, you are a travel agent and you've been one for how many years now?
2016. So 4 years.
4 years now. Okay. And your travel agency is?
Magical Journeys.
Okay. Magical Journeys. And part of the reason why I wanted to have you on today was, let's just throw it out there, everyone's concerned about the coronavirus and how it affects travel and how it affects travel agents. And we were talking pre-show that I've got a good friend who is scheduled for a Disney cruise, and they pulled the plug on the Disney cruise. Now, the scenario is a little different because they live closer, so it's only like they canceled the cruise. They didn't cancel the airfare. And I mentioned to you, we have a trip coming up, and we were a little concerned because we didn't know if we can cancel, and that started a whole conversation. So let's go through some details here. If you booked airfare right now, what is like the potential and possibility for cancellation in general? I know each carrier might be different.
Each carrier is different, but what we have noticed is that a lot of the airfares have gone down. So you, depending on the airfare or airline, you might be able to get credit back or get points back or however you booked it. Mm-hmm. For instance, on Southwest, I know a lot of people were able to get cheaper flights, so that's good. Mm-hmm. But Southwest also, I know if you call and explain your reason, they will let you either move it to another time without a problem or cancel without a problem.
Okay.
There are several places doing that.
Well, you know, I saw the post in Edcot, and to my ignorance, I didn't check because I was like, no, I don't want to go through that process. But like, you know what? Right after this show, I'm going to check Southwest Airlines because we have done that. We rebooked and they're like, hey, you get a point difference. And we used that a couple years ago.
Yes.
We used it for a free flight to California. We had so many points that were available and it was like score, you know, so chalked
it. And it's super easy to do online.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do that afterwards.
You don't have to call anybody. Yeah.
Okay, so what about things like resort stays at Disney or Universal? How does that work?
Disney is staying on top of things. We're getting emails letting them know. If you call and explain your situation, they're being pretty lenient with you. Universal has put out there that there's no fee charge, whatever you have to do. No stress booking. They are making it super easy. You want to cancel because of this? No problem. Here you go. But and Disney is too, but Universal has put it out there a little more loudly.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
So, and more recently, Disney Cruise Line, while they're not canceling anything, they have made the rule that you will get your fever taken before you get online with one of those forehead sensors.
Oh, get your temperature checked. Okay. Okay.
Yes. Everybody, cast, crew, and everybody on the ship. And if it is over 100.4, you're not getting on the ship.
Okay. Well, you know, I've got some good friends going on a cruise this weekend as well, too. And their family's healthy. They have every intention of going on the cruise. So I get that. But the cruise always has a little bit of concern, even without the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, the norovirus, and you always see, like, oh, like, 38 people were confined right to their quarters and whatnot. But, okay, so you are going to be forced to take a temperature reading.
Yes.
And if you fail, is that a refund, a return? How does that payment get processed at that point? Because you're obviously not taking the cruise.
That is a very good question. I think it's a case-by-case basis.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So this is legit. And, like, you know, all the posts in the world right now are like, hey, practice good hygiene and use hand sanitizers, wash your hands, and don't stock up 300 rolls of toilet paper and whatnot. So I do get that. But things like a cruise, this is serious because a lot of the cruising population, well, you know, a lot of that comes from Florida itself. Mm-hmm. A lot of those people just commute over for a, you know, for a weekend or for a 4-day cruise. And some of that population is above 65 and 70, which mm-hmm. is the, this is a bad word, the target demographic for the coronavirus, you know? So,
you're right.
So,
exactly.
So, yeah.
I kind of look at it this way too. They are taking this extremely seriously, more seriously than I've seen them take anything else, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And they are deep cleaning everything.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, it's kind of the safest time to go.
Maybe.
Because they have washed everything down. I mean, everything's going to be disinfected. And, you know, the rooms at Disney, or you know, they're getting deep cleaned as well. So everything is getting cleaned very, very thoroughly.
Yeah, you know what? On the boat, they already have to polish railings all the time. I bet you their duties have been amped up 3 times, you know? So
they have been, according to the emails we've been getting.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you're going, you know, obviously, you know, use good judgment. If you've traveled with somebody or you're traveling with somebody with an immune system that's compromised, or if you come back and you're a healthy carrier and grandma and grandpa are sick or have some mm-hmm. kind of, yeah, consider that. I mean, no shame, no judgment. Make the right call for your family in every situation.
Exactly.
So based on that, let's drop that topic right now. And, mm-hmm. and here's the show for today. I compiled a list here of scenarios that might occur in a Walt Disney World or even Disneyland vacation that are like worst case scenarios and how to address them. So, for example, and I'm just going to toss one out here. So, what do you do if you lose your magic band when you're on vacation? And people are like, yeah, that's a good question. I really don't know what to do at that point. I'm going to find somebody. But like, what's the process for that? So, I've got a list of about 13 or 15 by the time we're done talking of the oh no type situations. And we're going to provide you some guidance here. Because these are real life scenarios. Like, what happens if you're on vacation and you become super sick? Like really sick. You need to go to the hospital or doctor. Well, what do you do? What's the process? How do you check in? How do you get there? So these are things you're going to want to go and remember for the next time you're down there. And let's knock on wood that we never have to use it, right?
Exactly. Okay. Better to be prepared, though.
So I just want to say with like a wry smile on my face, it would be the show just before I leave for vacation. And you know me, you know what? I did look at the fast passes. And of course, you know, we're going to go and spend one day at Animal Kingdom because we've never seen Pandora and we're excited. And you know, there's no Navi Rivi Journey. There's no Flight of Passage fast passes available, but I am traveling at a time of panic right now. So you know me,
they might open up.
I'm just going to back my way into some fast passes and they'll be like, Chris, would you stop? Would you just plan these things out already? You need to travel at a time of a plague in order for you to go on these rides. Are you kidding me? All right. So here's my first question for you. Okay.
Yes.
And you're going to do a facepalm right now at your buddy, Chris. I guarantee it.
Okay.
So like 3 months ago, I got the My Disney Experience open and I'm looking at all the magic bands and I think I even set the colors, but I don't know if I completed that. And I realized yesterday, I never received my magic bands for this trip. Now, it's a good thing because I got 9.5 feet of magic band garland sitting in my house because I refuse to throw them away. So we are golden. But that'd be my first question is, what do you do if you realize your trip's leaving in 3 days and you've never received your magic bands? How do you arrange that?
I have had a client who that has happened to. And they called and they had their magic bands waiting for them at the front desk.
Okay. Can they be customized at that point with color, or is it just the gray? Everyone gets gray.
They can pick a color.
Oh, so you're saying I got a chance still?
Yes, absolutely. But you should call and let them know you didn't get them, so they'll have them waiting for you.
Cool. Do you think you could pick even the special order ones at this point?
No, they're only just the color ones.
Denied.
Yeah, because we had this happen with our youngest. We took him last minute on a trip, and so they said his magic band will be waiting for him at the desk, and he got to pick purple, which is his favorite color. So,
I'm torn here because honestly, I was joking, but I wasn't. I have 9.5 feet of magic band garland.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't need any other magic bands, especially for this trip. But like the greedy guy in me is like, heck yeah, I want a magic band, you know? So I just
keep adding to that garland.
Right? It's going to be a Christmas tree garland.
Christmas tree. That's what we do.
Okay. So who do you call? You call just Disney?
Disney.
Okay.
Yeah.
Disney customer service. Okay.
Yep.
What if you never arrange for the Magical Express? Like you're planning your trip and like, oh yeah, the bus is going to pick us up. We're just going to walk right down from our terminal and get right on the bus. No.
They don't turn you down.
Okay.
Okay. They know mistakes happen.
Okay.
We had one time where our Magical Express was deleted off of our resort reservation. So we got down there. They'd never heard of us. And luckily, without a problem, they're like, we don't tell people no.
Gotcha.
So I had my resort reservation number available. I gave it to them. They got us set up. No problem.
Gotcha. So go to the first person you see. Or there's actually a desk there, isn't there? There's like a little kiosk.
There is, but I was able to go to one of the people checking the magic bands.
Okay. And just plead your case, show them your resort reservation, and they should take care of you.
Yep.
Do you have a certain amount of time to disembark the plane? And then in your case, you had to go and get your luggage and then bring your luggage. Is there a certain amount of time for that?
To get your luggage and then get to Magical Express?
Yeah.
No.
I imagine not, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you needed to stop and use the bathroom, that's always my fear. It's like everyone's got to use the bathroom, and the bathroom right outside is 900 people long, and the ladies' room is ridiculously long.
Right.
So, okay, so there's no time limit.
I mean, they want you there as fast as you can, but they don't want you running there. They're like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The buses leave continuously for 24/7. So when you get there, you get there.
Okay. What about if you're in the airport? This is afterwards, or let's say you're in the room and you've packed all your luggage away. And are you a nester or do you leave your stuff in the bag? I'm just curious. What do you do?
I put everything in dresser drawers. Everybody else in my family keeps things in their luggage.
Okay. I used to be the luggage guy. And then by like the fourth day, I literally look like I'm a hobo. So I was like, enough of this. I'm going to start putting, right? So I want my shirts to look good. I don't want to be all wrinkly. So, okay. What if you lose your passport? You're in your room, you've packed your stuff, and you're freaking out because you're not going to get home. What do you do if you lose that passport? Or now it's like the special ID that you need from Illinois, but whatever the case
is.
Yeah.
So this has not been something that has happened to me, thankfully.
Okay.
I know it has happened to somebody in our group, though, or at that group. But what I personally like to do before I go anywhere is take a picture of my license, my passport, my credit cards, so that I have all that information handy so that I can call the number that needs to be called and they can issue a temporary one.
Good tip, front and back picture of like your MasterCard or your American Express.
Yes.
Great tip to actually take a picture of the back too if the phone number is there. So, okay.
Exactly.
Now you've lost your passport. And at this point, like how are you going to get back? Have you had that scenario? No.
Well, it's the same thing with your license. How are you going to get back without a driver's license?
Okay.
So if you call, there is a number on there. If you call, they are able to issue a temporary one that'll, if you explain, I'm flying, I need to get back home, they issue a temporary one to you and you're able to use that.
Gotcha. In Paris, they told us, you know, once you check into your Airbnb or where we were staying, they told us, obviously, put it in the safe in the room. There was a safe in the room. If you lose it, you've got to go to the American consulate.
Over there, sure you would.
Yeah. Because they're not going to be so quick and willing to let you back on these international flights without that passport. So
that makes complete sense.
Okay.
With a license, it's a little bit easier, but with a passport, yeah, especially going overseas, that would make sense.
Well, that answers my next question, which is, what if you lose your credit cards or they get stolen? And the answer is you've taken a picture, which I need to do still, of the front and back. You've already called. The moment you realize you're missing,
yep,
they've suspended that account and reissued you a new one. Can they send it overnight? How do they get it to you so quickly?
I had something very similar happen.
Mm-hmm.
My debit card was hacked, so it was shut down.
Okay.
And so here I am in Disney without anything. And luckily I had somebody at home that was able to get the new number and message it to me. So I was able to put that on my Disney account.
Okay.
But if you call them and explain the situation, they will work with you to make sure that you're not stranded there.
Yeah, I'm sure. They'll react pretty quickly and get that to you by courier pretty quickly.
So. Yes.
Okay. How about your magic band? You're on the Tower of
Terror. Expedition Everest.
Yeah, Expedition Everest, the Tower of Terror. You're enjoying it. Your hands are up because, like, yep. Well, me. It's me. I put my hands up and I block everyone's view and I don't even care about it. It's just going to happen. And I'm missing my yellow magic band. What happens and what do I do for that?
Had that happen to a client. She called me panicking. And so I told her to go to guest relations right there in the park and they gave her a new one.
How about if you're at your resort? Would you go to the concierge or the front desk?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. And there's going to be some hassle because they're going to have to go and transfer over the information, your resort and stuff. So
it's super easy, though.
Oh,
it's literally a few clicks of a button.
Oh, good, good, good. I was envisioning like 35 or 40 minutes of being like, oh, this is the end of the world here. No.
Not at all.
Okay. Good news. What if you lose your child or you're traveling with your elderly parent, and you lose mom and you can't find out. What do you do with that?
Both have happened to me.
Well, I envision like Angie Weaver West's pop.
Yes.
You know, they've traveled before, but I can easily see a scenario where he might wander off and they're like, where is he? What do we do with this?
In case my dad or in case of my son, Caden. So Caden, when he was seven, first trip to Disney World, we were getting ready to go into a dessert party. We're turned, poof, he's gone. Just gone. And at that moment, they still had the nighttime parade. And so all the lights shut off, everything's dark, and there's thousands and thousands of people on Main Street. So the panic was real.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he go? And it was that fast. He apparently followed somebody else that looked like his dad. So he was out on Main Street by himself. I was panicking. No joke. I told the manager of the dessert party the situation. Within 30 seconds, there was security out there in suits with like earbuds so they could communicate with each other every 5 feet.
Yeah. Great.
I mean, it was that fast.
Great.
I had taught him to go to anybody with the cast member badge. I pointed that out.
Mm-hmm.
If he get lost, because he's my wanderer. Mm-hmm. I knew what was going to happen at some point. So he did. He went up to somebody. Well, they were going up and down Main Street looking for us. I also had a luggage tag on his little bag that he had that had our phone numbers on it. So that she was going to call those after the parade if they still hadn't found us. But luckily, the security, they got a hold of her and he was back with us in about 20 minutes, which is the longest 20 minutes of my life.
Yeah.
But and then he said, why did you lose me?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Of course. My dad, similar situation. He didn't have his phone on. He forgot his phone charger, so it was dead. My dad is elderly and tends to get lost. And we were in the Japan Pavilion in Epcot, and I could not find him anywhere. He and my brother, by the way, were both didn't have their phones on. And so I'm looking all over the place, and I asked a cast member, and I described them, and they said they'd seen him in the gift shop. Well, you know that gift shop is like an L shape. It's very big. I did end up finding them eventually behind a big stack of Pokemon stuffed animals. But
let me parlay on that, too, because, you know, many years ago, I remember that when my twins were born, they issued identification cards that had their picture on that, and that's what we would show them. But, you know, times have changed, and legitimately everybody's got a smartphone. Just make sure you have a current picture of your kids to show them what they look like right now. And if you're the last guy in America with a flip phone, make sure it's still a current picture of your kids. And that's going to be the number one tool in retrieving your kids or mom or dad at that point.
And I will say this, it helps to have matching shirts. I know people are like, but I'm not. My husband and both my sons were all wearing matching shirts, so he was able to tell them it's a shirt like this.
Mm, good tip. And I have a hard time believing there were two guys that looked like Tom Selleck at Magic Kingdom at the same time.
But you're funny.
But I'm guessing that's the scenario. I got to take care of my brother, Tim. Are you kidding me? I got to take care of him. So what's the likelihood
of awesome Hawaiian shirts, by the way.
What's the likelihood of that? Whatever. Okay, very good. What if your room door doesn't open with your magic band? What do you do?
Had that happen as well. You go back to the front desk, explain the situation. It's usually one of two things. There's a glitch going on with your magic band, which they will fix, or the battery in the door lock has gone out, so they will get the mechanic out to fix it.
Gotcha.
Maintenance out to fix it.
So this one, I'd like to go and put an asterisk by and realize these things do happen. This shouldn't be an opportunity for you to go to the front desk and practice your crabbing skills and see what you can get from Disney. Now,
exactly.
If they had to go and repeat this process every day, then we've got a different case. And they're probably going to actually take care of you for this inconvenience on their own. You won't need to. But there are certain people you know on vacation that seem to look for the opportunity to go and capitalize and benefit. And you know what? Cast members, they work for entirely too little money with too many hours. And they're trying to make your day better. So treat them with respect and, you know, try and just conduct yourself like a human being and realize they're trying to help you. They're not trying to deny you anything. So walk down there with a little bit of humility and say, I'm sorry, I have a small issue. They will take care of you, and they respect the heck out of guests that treat them with respect, too, as well.
Absolutely. So. As my mom would say, you get more flies with honey than vinegar.
Yeah, for sure. That's my mode. That's my usual mode of any kind of discussion is I got to understand it from your perspective, and the last thing I want to do is come at you with all this nasty heat, you know? Now, there's a chance where, like, the scenario completely is out of, you know, and then you have to know the proper way to push a button, you know, but if you lead with a hammer, you know, it's not going to be good. So keep the hammer in your back pocket for later if you need to.
Exactly.
Who do you complain to if your room is in bad shape? Now, I saw a picture the other day where there was, ooh, this was good. There was like brown spots, not like what you think, on like the sheet of the Murphy bed. Tiny little brown dabs. And I didn't quite understand what that was until later when I saw a special on Channel 7 News about bed bugs. So like, who do you complain to about the bad shape of a room or something missing, or who do you talk to about that?
I have heard some crazy stories about this too. Mm-hmm. Do not call down to the front desk. Go to the front desk.
Okay.
Because when you call, you get sent to a call center. They can't really help you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the front desk, they will take care of you.
Gotcha.
Immediately. And they will probably move you to another room or do whatever they have to do. You know, for any reason, they will move you to another room.
Gotcha. So you got time for a 2-minute story here?
Oh, please.
So we were staying top floor, boardwalk, and we had like an odd parking lot view, but it was a really unique room. It was kind of shaped like an L with an L-shaped patio, but it had, I actually it's one of the most identifiable public rooms as you approach the boardwalk. We got put into it in the top floor. It was wonderful. We had great view. The bathroom molding, like the grout around like the and like the rubber grout and rubber seal around the door, it was completely molded over and like completely disgusting. Like the funk meter was like like plus 10 when you walked in the shower. So, you know, and I'm trying to like have a good time with my family. It's not bothering me, but like on day two, I'm seeing it and I'm really starting to get to like the, I wouldn't deal with this at home. I don't want to deal with this at the boardwalk. So I just simply snapped a picture and I went down to the front desk and I said, I'm not complaining at all. And I don't want to lose my room because I genuinely think it's like the best room at the boardwalk right now. But this is not good. And so the guy that I talked to, he agreed with me and he said, let me go get the manager. And the manager came down and said, yeah, that's not right. We will have someone come up and take a look at that. We left for the day. We came back and I swear they must have had a complete crew go and strip all the grout and lay a new grout. And it was taking, it was, it's caulk actually for that matter. But
yes,
they stripped the caulk and put it in and it was in great shape. That day we had the general manager of the boardwalk or that night and she was knocking on the door and she came in just as a casual person, and she talked to us for like 35 minutes about our vacation, and she wanted to make sure we were happy. We didn't even ask for anything, nor did we even want anything, but I'm sure she came bearing gifts if we wanted it. We're not like that on vacation. We didn't want the gifts. Okay. But she wanted to ensure, she gave us her business card, and I still have it to this day, and she says, whenever you come back to this resort, you want to call me. And you tell me when you're coming, and I will make sure this room right here is ready for you every single time.
Well, that's nice.
So it's nice. And, like, she was genuinely like that isn't good. I mean, mold's definitely not a good thing. It's a buzzword right now, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, approach it kindly. But, like, take a picture. You're right. We walked down. We were like, I'm not complaining. I don't want anything. I don't want fast passes. But, like, this is not good. You got to fix this, you know?
Right.
And DVC called me when I got home and refunded a day's worth of points out of like a 4 or 5 night stay. Wow. And said, not cool. We're going to take care of it for you, Mr. Malik. And I was like, that's why I just, you know, that's why I have 290 DVC points, because something goes wrong. I don't even have to complain about it. They know it, you know? So yeah, they took care of that for me.
We had good experience at the boardwalk too. I had put clothes in to dry and when they went back and I had turned it on, but the dryer was not working.
Okay.
And the manager ended up, I caught a maintenance guy in the hallway and he called the manager, and the manager of the hotel came up, took our laundry and went down to the laundry facilities, had them do it. And they came back to us in a laundry basket, folded and ready to go.
Nice. Nice.
Which was nice. Now, we didn't get, you know, a refund or anything like that. Well, I did get my money refunded for the dryer, but you know,
yeah.
But, you know, I mean, what manager is going to take somebody's dirty laundry? Well, it was clean, but laundry at that point. Wet laundry.
For sure.
So nice.
I guess the key words there were go down and talk to somebody. And if you don't feel you're going to get the resolution you need, now give them some time because it could be a busy day. And on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, that may not be their priority because that checkout and check-in line is huge, you know. So. Mm-hmm. But if you don't think you're going to get it after a little bit of time, then go up the food chain and ask to speak to the manager in a very kind, professional way, you know, and frame your argument the correct way. Don't come out with guns blazing. Frame your argument. You'll get the response you want. But it also, don't look for something. Don't tell them you've got a chip in one of the tiles that you hardly even see. You know, make this valid. Make this worth your time. This is vacation. Like, time's money. So if you're going to complain, make it worth the time to complain. You know, make it something that actually matters at this point.
Yes.
Okay. What about if the food's cold or bad? Do you go in and just tell the waiter, or who do you, like, if you're at a restaurant, what do you do there?
You start with the server. Okay. Absolutely. And we've had a couple instances where, you know, that sort of thing has happened, or I grossly got a hair in my food. I'm always the one that seems to be cursed with that. And when it hasn't been taken care of appropriately, we would ask for a manager.
Gotcha.
So, but it's always been taken care of except for one instance.
Yeah.
I can think of.
That waiter wants to resolve that because he's generating some of his personal income off your tip. And
exactly.
As human beings, you know what? When the guy or girl really goes and knocks it out of the park, I'm generous. I'm probably stupidly generous, you know, with a tip. And if I feel like I've been treated inappropriately or poorly, you know what? I'm a human being and I get it. But you know what? I don't owe you that money. That's not, you know, I mean, you signed up for the position to be a waiter. I know it's part of how you make your, but this ain't good. And I'm not going to drop $125 and leave here unhappy about that, you know? So, okay. What about if you feel threatened or unsafe at any point? This is a unique scenario now. You're in a park and I don't know, for some reason, just something is going on. You're not comfortable with it. How do you react to that?
Well, you know, I have seen when it's Food and Wine Festival, somebody imbibed a little too much and there was a fight breaking out. Not quite to the Disneyland craziness, but, you know, it was scary and the guy was shouting at just random people. Cast members were on top of it very quickly. But if you're there and it's just one of those freak things where it started with you, obviously contact a cast member as soon as you can and they will get security there.
Gotcha. Or find the nearest bottle, smash it against the side, get a sharp edge and say, bring it on. No, don't do that. Don't ever do that.
Don't do that, Chris.
That was terrible advice.
Bad advice.
That was terrible advice. All right. So Amy, you know, there are these weirdos and oddballs that like don't like to make fast passes or ADRs. So I can't believe it. Like me, I'm planning all day long. Plan,
sure
you know,
you are.
That's me. I love it. So what do you do if you don't make fast passes? Like what's the best you can hope for? Let's talk specifics. We're going to Hollywood Studios and cause I'm like, not me. Let's envision another guy named Christoph Malik is going to go to the park and he's going to just walk into Galaxy's Edge because he's going to get on the attractions. What can he do? How can you save this poor man from his vacation?
Well, if he did not get a boarding group for Rise of the Resistance, sorry, buddy, you're out.
Oh, Christoph. Okay.
But if you want to ride the Millennium Falcon, ride Smuggler's Run, there's a single – they didn't even have fast passes when we went before. There's a single rider line, and the regular line, even though it was at 50 minutes, went fast. It was constantly moving.
Gotcha.
So it's not the end of the world for that.
Okay.
You're just not going to get everything you want. But, you know, we planned our trip a week out down there, and we got reservations for Oga's Cantina. I highly recommend at least trying to get a reservation for that, because otherwise the line is really long.
Gotcha.
But if you don't mind waiting in line, that's fine. You don't have to have it.
Okay, so let's expand this further. And if you do have, let's say, on my upcoming trip, I desperately want to go on Flight of Passage. I don't get a fast pass. Mm-hmm. I'm going to either hit that up right at 9 o'clock in the morning and do the best I can and wait my hour, or don't plan on going from like 11 until 5 or 6 o'clock. Come back around at about 7:30 or 8 o'clock when the park closes, because oftentimes in the morning or the evening time, it's the best opportunity. The little ones have gone home for the day and the lines will be short, but like 2 o'clock, yeah, that's going to be a rough one to get to wait on.
Exactly. And they tend to inflate the wait times at those times to try and get people from going in them at closing time.
Okay.
But I found that they've gone quite fast.
Same thing would be like lunch too as well. When you're eating lunch, if you don't have a ADR somewhere, and you just decided...
We should explain to the non-Disney people what ADR is. It's Advanced Dining Reservation.
Gotcha. So you just decided you're going to walk in the park and we're going to eat and we're going to have lunch right at 12 o'clock. And you know what? I cannot describe this enough to you as a frustrating experience. Like, plan your lunch times. If you don't want to make your reservations and you don't want to go through that process, then lunch for you should occur either at 11 or 2. Because 11:30 to 1:30, everyone is going to eat. So if you don't want to wait 35 minutes in line and realize, oh my gosh, that was like 1/10 of my day and I just waited in line for 35 minutes for food and it cost me $100 to get into this park, pick a time that's slower. And the same with dinner. Eat dinner at 4, like you're 80 years old, or eat dinner at 7. And it's all good, but 5 and 6, not good. That's not a good time.
Well, and even if you do make an advanced dining reservation for that time, 180 days out, so you have a 5 o'clock reservation somewhere, a lot of times you tend to wait, even still. So I agree with you. We tend to make the 4 o'clock or the 7 o'clock times for that reason, strictly because we don't want to wait in a crowd.
Now, Amy, strategically, I like to I like to go and have like a little bigger breakfast. So I made a lunch reservation at 2 o'clock. And what I'm hoping is by the time we really start getting hungry, we'll walk on in for lunch. And maybe it might hold me all the way through like 8 o'clock or so. And we'll pick something up on the way back to the room, or we'll go to Wawa for subs, hint, 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 or something like that. So I kind of positioned it. I didn't want to have 3 full meals in the park. I didn't want to spend 3 hours of my 10-hour park day eating, you know?
Right.
I wanted to almost, that sounds bad, but I almost wanted to eat as little as possible and enjoy the park to the fullest extent, but use your times wisely.
Absolutely.
Okay. What happens if you've eaten 3 full meals and you go back and the next day something's not right and you are extremely ill? You got food poisoning, or you know what? Even more serious than that, something you're getting
flu or something.
Yeah. Right. Chest pains or flu. What do you do?
Have somebody go down to the front desk, explain the situation. This situation has happened a lot. Disney will pay for a taxi to bring you to the emergency room.
Okay. So you don't got to figure out your own way. Disney will arrange that for you.
Yes.
Okay.
So you will get to the emergency room and they will pay for them to bring you back too. It's super cool. And so once you get to the emergency room, then you go from there. Now, some people are like, but my insurance won't cover that. This is where travel insurance comes in handy, because travel insurance will help reimburse some of that cost, just a heads up, of your medical bills down there. Okay. But
go ahead. Go ahead.
No. But just for those that know, but they make it super easy. Okay, well, now you're down there and you need antibiotics. I can't necessarily get to the nearest Walgreens. Disney has a deal with Turner Pharmacy, and what they will do is deliver your prescriptions to the resort.
Okay.
So
that was one of my questions, is what happens if you forgot or you run out of your medication when you're down there?
Yep. That's another thing you can do. So we have been on vacation before where my son forgot his medication, and it's not one that you can't, you know, just skip. You got to have it. Mm-hmm. You can't go cold turkey. And so we have had to call. We ended up calling CVS and working it out that way. But you can go through Turner Pharmacy if you have to.
And they do have Walgreens down there. They have Walmart. They have Walgreens. They have Targets. So those pharmacies are a lot of what people use. So you're in the system and you can hope to speak to a pharmacist and explain what's going on. And the system should be linked.
It is.
In order for you to find it. And I would say take a picture of your medication, but if you've run out, you probably didn't take a picture of your medication in the first place. So
exactly.
Small note here. So when my father was sick, one of the questions I asked is, so what happens if my dad takes an ambulance and he takes an ambulance and the nearest emergency room is like out of network? Like, how does that work out? So what I learned in that scenario is the insurance will cover any emergency visit anywhere it goes. You're good. Don't panic. You're not going to see that ambulance charge. Now, as soon as you're stabilized, you're going to be transferred to a hospital or
that's in network.
That's in network is right. So if it's the only hospital or the nearby, or if it's Celebration Hospital and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know if it's in, relax. If you're dead, it doesn't matter, you know?
Right.
So get to the hospital first. Let all the bookkeeping and, you know, finances take place afterwards. You're covered. You'll get there and they'll stabilize you. Then we'll reach the next step. And they'll do that for you. They'll tell you where your next options are. So
yes.
You don't got to pull
up. But if it's like food poisoning, or if it's strep throat or something like that, and it's just a clinic, sometimes those being out of network, though not as high as a hospital, it'd be nice to be able to put in a claim to travel insurance and have that taken care of.
Great point. That's a great point, because those are the most common things, is food poisoning and whatnot. So, okay. I can actually help with this one too, but what happens if you rent a car and you didn't pay for the optional rental add-on? What do you do if your rental car gets damaged or stolen? I mean, stolen's obvious. You're going to call the police at that point.
Right.
But, okay, you're on the expressway and somehow you get into a fender bender or something along those lines. Has that scenario happened for your guests?
No, you're the only one it's happened to.
Repeatedly. Repeatedly. Yes. I don't know why it's me. But then again, this next trip, I'm renting a car as well, too. So I just like dancing with the devil. So here's what
I would assume you call the rental company and contact your insurance.
So there is a step before that. So you're going to obviously call 911, depending on where this occurred. If it's the expressway or if it's like even parts of like iDrive, it depends on whose jurisdiction that is. It might not be Kissimmee. It might not be Celebration. It could be the Florida State Highway Patrol. And I'm sure they're really nice human beings off duty. But as far as response time on duty, it was, and I'm not lying to you, it was nearly 3 hours from the incident to where there was an officer in front of me. Because you're a low priority. And, you know, they're covering all of the grounds at the Florida Highway State Patrol. You're on vacation. And, like, 3 hours is, like, 10 hours. And, like, it is the worst. Now, as luck would turn out, of course, it was in the parking lot of a Wawa. So it was like, the Lord blessed me and punished me all at the same time. So what do? You can't call these ones out. Call the police for sure. You need to have this documented. You need some form of documentation because your second call is going to be, well, your second call should be to the rental car company explaining what happened. And your third call should be to your insurance company because you need to have insurance to rent the car and explain what's going on. They all need to work in unison. If it's not your fault, don't worry about it. If someone sideswiped you, like the person sideswiped me, simply we had the Florida Highway State Patrol. They documented the case. We called State Farm. They were aware. And then, I don't even remember the company. It could have been, it might have been Alamo. They simply informed us, if the car is drivable, take it to the nearest Alamo, like car center, and they'll swap it out for you. Show them your form of everything and you're good to go. If it's your fault and you didn't buy that add-on, there's going to be a fee for that. Even if it's like for us, it was a tire. We had a tire blowout. But it was arguable whether I caused the tire to blow out or whether it blew out in itself. And at the end of the day, it was $100. And I was like, all right, I got more to do in my life than worry about this $100. Here, take it and just like I want to forget about this situation. But if it's not your fault, you have insurance. Again, Florida State first, rental company and insurance, and you're good. And take care of those guys. It'll work itself out. It's not the end of the world, but it is going to take up some time. So I guess that's another question is what happens if you get into a rental car fender bender on the way back to MCO on your departing flight? Because that process will put you...
take 3 hours.
Right? Yeah. So you're going to have to go and deal with what you got to deal with short at hand and then plead your case to Southwest and realize they're not going to put you on the next flight. They're going to bump you until it's convenient for them. But you'll get back. You always do. So
yes.
One step at a time. Don't envision all 80 steps. Just work on the one that's short at hand first, you know? What about if you forget... Oh, we did that one. What do you do if you realize it's Sunday and you need to go to religious service? Where do you go? What's the nearest place for that? Do you
Well, that's a good question. Gotcha. They used to have one at the Contemporary.
They had a different denomination at different resorts. Did you know that?
No, I know that just the most recent one was that they had a non-denominational one at the Contemporary, but they have stopped that recently too.
Yes, but I do know that when Walt Disney World opened, I'm going to have to find some research because I hate to go and throw this like it's fact, but I firmly believe this, I've read this somewhere, that they had different services for different denominations at different resorts. And you were allowed to go to the Methodist service here, and you were the Baptist service here, and the Catholic service here.
That doesn't surprise me.
Right? You would think so. So, but I have to go and find that. But yeah, there is a church, and it's just across... It's just across the expressway. It's by the Disney outlet store there over on Vineland, I believe. You can literally see it. And the name escapes me. I don't know if it's Queen of... Oh, boy. Everyone knows it. Everyone can see it as you drive down I-4. You know, I mean, you can literally see it off the expressway. But I'll research it and I'll post it in one of the comments in EdCat. So there is a place for religious service. Heck, pull out your phone. You know what? Nowadays...
Well, that's what I was going to say. Google Maps, you can find anything.
Information is quick at hand. Okay.
Well, I do know that Piano Bob from Port Orleans Riverside plays, I believe, at a Methodist church every Sunday.
He does. I am aware of that. Correct. He does do that. All right. So here's really the last one that I have for you. Your flight out in the morning is 6 a.m. You realize you set up the Magical Express and you got your eviction notice the day before and you're completely bummed and you realize they're going to pick you up at 3 o'clock or something crazy, like 3:30 in the morning. And you checked your luggage the night before, you checked your luggage that morning, or you didn't check your luggage at all and you overslept. So you missed your bus. What do you do if you missed your bus back to the Orlando International Airport?
That's not the best thing to do, because they hold to those things pretty tightly. They don't like you missing that time because they, you know, have paid for fuel to come out and pick you up. So I'm just saying you're going to get reprimanded a little bit. Mm-hmm. In the most Disney way, depending on who you're talking to and at what time in the morning. But if that happens, they will do their best to accommodate you. They will send another Magical Express, or they'll recommend you take a cab and you have to pay for it.
Peter Pontecorvo did that. Yeah. He missed his bus, and they're like, the next bus isn't going to show up for some time. You don't have the luxury. So, yeah, it was taxi cab, or it could be minivan now out to Orlando, you know, or if you got an Uber app, you know, or an Uber, you know, fire that baby up. But they will not bring you transportation lickety split. You have missed your opportunity to be punctual and responsible. Then you kind of are you're in recovery mode. Okay. So make sure
it's their mistake. It's a different story. But if it's your mistake, you better have a backup plan.
Gotcha. Is there any scenarios I haven't mentioned that are completely valid and people should be aware of?
Well, let's say you fall and twist your ankle.
Okay.
At Disney. It's not worth going, you know, to emergency care for that. Okay. Firsthand knowledge of this one. Fell flat on my face coming out of a pub where I hadn't been drinking. In Epcot, and I got heat stroke, and I went down.
Okay.
And I twisted both of my ankles and got skinned and bruised up pretty badly from that fall. What do you do? They immediately called somebody from first aid to come on a golf cart, basically, and come and check you out. Now, there happened to be another guy who was a doctor who was walking by that checked me out first. But I just ended up renting a wheelchair for the rest of the time I was there. But their first aid is excellent. My dad forgot his blood sugar tester. We went into the park to first aid every day and got it tested. So if you forget some of those things, they can help you out the best they can.
Gotcha.
They're excellent.
Realize that this is the number one tourist destination in the world, and I could hardly imagine a scenario they haven't faced. I mean, they've dealt with some awful things. People have, you know, offed themselves from resorts, and there have been terrible accidents, and they've dealt with traumatic, life-changing, life-altering, awful scenarios. So these things, you know, with blood sugar and they've faced this before. So really, there's nothing that I don't think I couldn't even imagine a scenario on this list that they wouldn't have a contingency plan or know what to do. You know, in my mind, I'm like, oh, what if there's God forbid, what if there's like a terrorist attack at Walt Disney World property? Oh, they've got stuff in place for that. So you know, they've definitely run through that scenario, and there's a training exercise and a plan in place of how to respond for that. Mm-hmm. What if there's a viral, they know what to do with that too. So don't worry about that. Realize it's been done and they have a plan. I can absolutely say that with no uncertainty, because never for one second did I even think about canceling my trip coming up, you know, to Florida this weekend, even amongst all the you know, what's going on right now in the world. So, okay. Anything else that we haven't covered?
I think we've covered everything I can think of. I'd be curious to know what others think. I'd like to see their questions.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to give one last tip, and here's like the worst case scenario is, and this is a shout out for you, and this is a shout out for anybody who is a travel agent, and we've got a bunch of them at Epcot, is if you're traveling and you're not a DVC member, like Amy can't help make my DVC reservation for me. That's just not something that's in their battery of things they do. I wouldn't trouble her with that. But if you're going and you're staying at Coronado or French Quarter, and you're not sure who to use or how to plan this, use an expert. Like, seriously, we have no business relationship. I get no referrals from any travel agent for anything. But like, if you know you're going and you're not prepared for that, then you better find somebody that's been through that and can help you, because that person's going to be your first point of contact. Like, how many times has something gone screwy and they call you and be like, hey, Amy, something's not right here. Mm-hmm. Then Amy gets on the phone with the resort manager and be like, I got an issue. I got a client. They just stayed for a week. It was their life's ambition to go down for a week. You got to fix this. And so, you know, I joked, and this is in the most loving fashion, you need a bulldog in your corner. And you know what? If you can't do it for yourself, the person who booked it for you, they will be your advocate. They'll be your bulldog, you know? So if you're going and you're unawares, or you, just everything is brand new, like ally yourself with someone who knows. So find a travel agent.
Absolutely.
Find a travel
agent. Yes, I agree.
And if you did want to use Amy, again, give us your stuff.
I have a Facebook page that you can message me on, Amy Vanswall with Magical Journeys.
Okay. And if you joined EDCOT, you're going to find Amy in our Facebook group as well, under EDCOT, and she's one of the admins. We have a bunch of travel agents. They're all sweetheart, and they're all good at what they do. But feel free, if you have any questions, throw it out there, and I guarantee you get a good answer. So I think that's all I got for today. I think we've gone through enough worst-case scenarios for today. So
I agree.
Okay, the next time we get you back on, you know what? I like to revisit some universal information, and we'll do some research, because I know they've talked about opening Nintendo Land, which has got like every 35 to 50 year old male like super excited. So we want to learn more about Nintendo Land. And
as soon as I know, I will let you know.
Awesome. All right. So if you've stayed with us, we appreciate it. If you could leave us a review, go to your podcast catcher of choice. If it's iTunes or Apple Podcast or Stitcher or Podomatic, and leave us a review. It helps us. We certainly appreciate that. So outside of that, for my friend Amy and for myself, we'd like to thank you and wish you a great day.
Bye.